Welcome to the Turning Point Church podcast. We pray that this message takes root in your heart and bears fruit in your life. For additional messages and other resources, you can visit us at www.tpoint.church.
We're going to read just a little bit here this morning. Turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Thank you, Lord, for leading us by your Spirit. Deuteronomy chapter 8. We've been in the book of Deuteronomy really since even before the announcement of the place, which I find interesting. God was already preparing us even when we didn't even know it was on the way. We were already in a time of messages where we were speaking it by faith. It had not yet become sight, but we were speaking it by faith. Hallelujah. Kind of like a win for the University of Tennessee. Sorry, had to do it. Just lost the spirit. Everything that was just happening was going in a good way. I should have kept my mouth shut. Should have just left it alone. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Stand to your feet very quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm reading out of the New American Standard. If you're on a phone or a tablet where you can select different versions. Deuteronomy 8, we're going to start with verse 1. All the commandments that I'm commanding you today, you will be careful to do, that you may live and multiply. See that? Live and multiply. And go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. And you shall remember all of the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, test you, and to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you be hungry. And he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your feet swell these 40 years. Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you just as a man, a father, disciplines his son. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God and to walk in his ways and to fear him. Verse 7. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat food without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are satisfied, you will bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Verse 11. Now beware lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinance and his statutes which I am commanding you today. Lest when you have eaten and are satisfied, and have built good houses and lived in them, and your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies, then your heart becomes proud and you forget the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness, he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you, to do good for you in the end. Did you hear that? To do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, it was my power and strength of my hand that made me this wealth. Verse 18. But you will remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant to you. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. It is the direction of our life. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Without it, I would have no idea where to go. Without it, I would not have any direction. My life would be aimless. It would be pointless. It would be a wandering of this earth. God, we cannot thank you enough for your word. You sent your word to heal us. You sent your word to guide us. Lord, you sent your word to give us answers. There is not a single thing that we face in this life that you have not provided an answer for. Not one thing. Not one thing. Lord, your word is perfect. It is pure. It is holy. It is from your very mouth. God, we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Be sweet. I'm just going to walk a few minutes through this morning. We're going to walk. Notice what he's saying here in verse 1. He said, when you go into the land to possess it, living, multiplying, entering, and possessing. Living, multiplying, entering, and possessing has everything to do with being obedient. Has everything to do with being obedient. All the commandments that I'm commanding you today, be careful to do them so that what may happen? Living, multiplying, entering, and possessing. So that all of those things may happen. We obey as a form, if you understand, even as you're a child, you learn to obey because your parents establish rules, and you learn to obey, and it takes time to understand how that obedience comes. But really, for us as believers, the only way to be victorious in obedience is to come from a place of love. It's to come from a place of love. If anybody else has tried this, to follow the rules just for the sake of following the rules, and this is just what I know to do right, there's not much strength behind that when I face temptation. Well, I've just been told my whole life that this is wrong and it's not right, and I've just got to stick to that. But if you have an encounter with God and love shines forth in your heart and God does something deep and you truly encounter Jesus Christ and there is a love that has developed and there is a relationship that has come because of that, then that love then becomes the source for which I obey. I obey because I love. I love and therefore I obey. That's the whole message behind us being in the New Testament now under the law of grace. That grace is not for us to see how much we can get away with. It is the strength to be able to obey because we have that grace that has been shown us. Because he loved us, we love him. I love him because he first loved me. If you look also in verse 2, it said, and you will remember the Lord. Remember all the way in which he led you. And here's the important thing to remember is that even when you're in the wilderness, God doesn't stop leading. So if you feel like you're still stuck in a place and it feels wilderness a little bit, cheer up. God's still leading. He's still leading. That is, if you'll let him. If you'll let him. Can prove it again in the New Testament that when Jesus came up out of the baptismal pool with his cousin, John the Baptist. Talk about a man whose name really fit. What happened? Jesus was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness. Into the wilderness. That's why Paul confirms this. He said, the trials and the tribulations, they may come, but consider it all joy, my brothers, when you endure such hardships, when it feels like wilderness. Why? Because if you trust the Spirit to lead you in your life, it doesn't matter what you walk through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou art with me. Man, that felt good. I felt the Holy Spirit on that one. The psalmist David, King David, knew what he was talking about in the 23rd. Psalm he wrote, scribbled in a field with sheep. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's leading in the wilderness. If you look 2-6, and I'm just kind of walking through the word, let's learn to walk through the word together. Amen. Walk through the word. Remember all the ways what the Lord has done in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, test you, to know what was in your heart. Look at everything that he's doing. Remember a few weeks ago, it was the message, oh God, why the wilderness? Why the wilderness? Well, guess what? He answers the question right here. It's to humble us. It's to test us. It's to flush out the intentions and the motives of our heart. He wants to see where we stand. To find out whether or not we'll follow instructions. All of those things are happening in the wilderness. And I love what he says here. He said, when all is said and done, you will know in your heart that this happened because God is a father and his son. And to add weight to that, the word says that the one that the Lord loves, he disciplines. Man, God has certainly loved me a lot. Anybody else? Man, God, you've loved me so much. Can you lay off a little, maybe? The love and the discipline that comes with it. But here's what I've learned. God knows better. He knows better than me. Have learned some of that the hard way. Still learning it at times, but he knows better. He knows better. He even knows how to answer. We're still figuring this out. We're parents trying to figure out the whole parenting thing, and it changes every single day. And then before you know it, you got a kid who's almost as tall as you, and you got all kinds of things happening. And so when you try to address something, or when they ask a question, you learn how to answer a certain way, right? You learn how to answer as the question comes up. And the way that you used to answer when you were a young parent is different than the way when you become more experienced. Am I right, parents? Am I right? You learn things along the way. You learn the things that can wait. You learn the things that are really a heart's desire that your child is asking for. Like, I know the request for Paw Patrol figurines is a fleeting request. It may be the biggest dream in their heart at this very moment. But the next moment, they will have another biggest dream of all of their heart. And so, no, that's why we're not getting candy at the counter as we're checking out. No. Why? I want to be a good father. I want to give good gifts. And it's not that I'm all about saying no. In fact, my parents taught us, say yes as often as you can. Be parents who say yes. Love your children. Let them hear you saying yes. I think that's a good thing to live by. Anyway, that's for free. Mama, you can talk to my mom afterward if you want to talk more about that. She'll line you up. Now, this is what I meant by saying yes. This is what I meant. But this is what happens when we discipline, as God disciplines us. Even the word is clear on this. The vineyard keeper would trim back the branches. Why? So new growth could come and fresh fruit could be born. That's what God is doing with all of us in one phase or another, in one stage or another. He's moving us into greater times of fruit and producing fruit, the fruit of our lives, the fruits of the Spirit. The wilderness is removing, listen, the wilderness is removing the things that you can't take with you into the promise. The wilderness is removing the things you can't take with you into the promise. Say, I can't take it with me. I can't take it with me. There are certain people that you can't take with you. They just won't go. Remember, Abraham was commanded by the Lord. He said, you're going to go into the wilderness. There's the word again. Into the wilderness, you're going to sacrifice your son. I'm going to test you. The wilderness is for tests, so you're going to... And humbling. I'm going to test you to see if your heart is really toward me or not, and so you're going to offer You're going to offer your son up to me, and while you're traveling in the wilderness, I'll show you the mountain that you're to go to. What great directions. Sometimes God's directions, I just don't appreciate it. I wish there'd be more detail to them. But he said, go, start heading in a direction. I'll tell you where you need to go. And then the word says that when they got to the base of the mountain and he saw it, he said he left his servants with the donkeys. And he and Abraham and Isaac went up on the mountain. There are some people that can't make it. Who will ascend the hill of the Lord? He who has pure hands and a clean heart. That's not to say that there's something wrong with them or things that have to happen. What I am saying, the point I am making, is that not everybody is wanting to go where you're wanting to go. Not everyone is attached to the promise and the promise that God is bringing you into. I can't take it with me. Please say it again. I can't take it with me. The old attitude. I can't take it with me. The stinking thinking. I can't take it with me. The old offenses. The old baggage. The old reactions. Y'all tracking with me? I can't take it with me. And the reason why is because, you know, God is talking about the commands here. You know, follow these commands. And we look at the commandments and we look at the commands of God, and just with a very, with a straightforward, almost abrasive kind of response, that's a commandment. First of all, that's the flesh. When we don't want to receive a commandment from the Lord, it's the flesh that's wanting to buck up. It's at war against the things of God. You know that, right? There's that war that's going on. But we don't see the commands, I believe, as God intends them. And they're more than just commands. They are wisdom. It's wisdom. It's wisdom. When God sets out a boundary and he outlines a rule or a commandment, it's not for our destruction. It's because he is wise and he knows what will happen if we choose A or B. He already knows the outcome. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and end. He knows it's pure and perfect wisdom that he's giving us when he says, do this, don't do this. Later on in Deuteronomy 28, we're not going to jump over there, but I'll just paraphrase it for you. But if you'll do all of these things, if you'll hearken unto the voice of the Lord and do these commands and do as I'm commanding you today, then these blessings will come and overtaking you, meaning they'll be moving so fast, they'll pass you up. This is what will happen if you'll take heed to my wisdom that I'm giving you. Be blessed in the city, blessed in the country. Amen. Who wants to be blessed in the city and in the country? I like being blessed in the country. We like living out in the country. Blessed in the country. And blessed when we come into the city with all this traffic. Glory to God. Blessed shall you be in the fruit of your womb. The offspring of your body, the produce of the ground, the offspring of your animals, the increase of your herd and young flocks. Blessed will be your basket and your kneading bowl. There's that bread again. Blessed when you come in and when you go out. Listen to this. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way and they will flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing upon you, that in your barns and in all that you put your hand to, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. There it is, that land again, that promise. The Lord will make you abound in prosperity. The Lord will open for you his good storehouse. The heavens to give rain on their lands in season, in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend to many nations, but shall not borrow. Remember this part. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You will only be above, and you will not be underneath. I'm just going to pause right here and just ask, what on earth are we holding on to? That's the question, keeping in light of these promises. That's the question. It really is the question. What on earth, what in this world is worth holding on to that even compares in light of these promises? He said, I set before you today life and death. Choose, right? That's the difference between God's way and whatever the world has to offer. It's incomparable. They're so far apart as night and day, good and evil, life and death. That's how far apart they are. God's ways versus the world's ways, the flesh ways. There is no comparison. And somehow we miss the wisdom in what he's saying. It's more than just commandment. He's saying, if you'll do these things, these are the built-in responses that are going to happen. Lord, I want these built-in responses. I want these built-in responses. Lord, I don't want to spend my life circling a mountain, wandering in a wilderness. Lord, I want to obtain the promises. We were praying on Wednesday night. We were praying, and I was reminded as we were praying of the hall of faith. The hall of faith in Hebrews 11 that is talking about all of the great men and women of God. He goes down through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, works his way through the Old Testament prophets of old, all of these things. And then he said, by the Spirit of God, we're able to subdue kingdoms, do exploits, shut the mouths of lions, do incredible, incredible things that they were able to do. Why? Because they followed the wisdom of the Lord. They said, we will side with him. Say it one more time. I can't take it with me. Because the thing is that we won't be able to reap the benefit of the blessing if all we ever do is wrestle with the stuff that has hindered our momentum and our steps. Did you get that? You with me? We won't be able to reap the benefit of the blessing if all we ever do is just wrestle with the stuff that has hindered our momentum and our steps. The thing is that God can bring you into the promise like he's doing for this church right now, like he's doing for this house right now. And if all you can focus on and all that you can see is the stuff that you want to keep taking with you and you want to bring it into the promise and where he's taking us, the thing is that when you get into the promise, guess what? You won't see the promise for what it is. All you'll still be able to see is all the stuff. The things around you can change. The sanctuary around us can change. The foyer around us can change. These new places, all the space that we'll be able to work with, ministries, all these kinds of things that we'll be able to do, all of that can change. But let me poll the congregation. What good is all of that if this don't change? What? And there's something that you got to believe if you're going to let go of the stuff. You got to believe that God has something better for you. You've got to believe that God has something better. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the wilderness or the cross. Because there was something better that he wanted. He was obedient to the Father by being a vessel and a servant on earth and to come to earth as a servant and to lay his life down and to give himself a ransom for many. He was pleased to do so, and it was the Father's good pleasure to send him. But it was the joy that was set before Jesus. He said, I'm doing this because I know that there is better. And it's not just better for me. It's better for my people. It's better for my people. So as great as the promise is, what is it that we know and that we've been focusing on? It's really less about the promise and more about the promiser. You see, there's a heart that I believe is taking place in this church and what he has taught us during this time. Because when the Lord spoke to Israel, he said, you are my possession. I make you my possession. You see, the Lord wasn't interested in earthly possessions. He was interested in his people. They're my possession. And when things will really begin to turn around and our focus to be right is when he becomes our possession. He becomes that which we're focused on. God, we thank you for the promise. We thank you for the land. We thank you, Lord, for the building. We thank you for all of that, all of those natural things. But those things will come and go. Brick and stone and wood and nails and all of that will come and go. That's why he must be my possession. That's why he must be my promise. So whether the land comes through or not, he's still the promise. Whether the building comes through or not, he's still the promise. He's still the promise. And yet, God is so good, he says, I'll do that, I'll be your promise, and I'll also give you the land. And I will do this. I will do above and beyond all that you can ask or think. Glory to God. And that's what he has done and is doing. That's what we're walking into, church. We're walking in step with the one who gives promises. Glory to God. Man, I just feel praise unto the Lord. Come on, can we praise him? Let's honor him this morning.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Turning Point Church. To stay connected, we invite you to subscribe to this podcast and follow us on social media. If you're in the Middle Tennessee area, we'd love for you to join us for a Sunday or midweek service. God bless you and have a wonderful week.